whole point and the reason that they were willing to give their lives, their physical lives, was so that people would take their physical lives who got to live and do something with them. Do something positive with them. There is one way. I'll just tell you where we're going with the message, and then I'll kind of fill it all in, and then we'll be on our way home today. But the whole point of somebody giving their lives, you know, in service is so that we can live and honor them. The only way to really honor someone who's given their life is to live our lives in a way that honors them. Amen. Right? Yeah. To do the things that if one soldier dies so that 100 people live, those 100 people need to do 100 lives worth of worthwhile things to make it worth for that one who died. And that's really the crux of everything I'm talking about. So, you know, Howard's friends and fellow soldiers died so that he could live. Now, he was willing to, but his number wasn't called. And so he went on to live and to provide freedom. He was, you know, willing. And like I said, on down the line. And that's what we celebrate with Tony. Tony was able to, what Tony did yesterday, honestly, what Tony did in the last month to go and pursue this education that has been paid for by the American system, that has been paid for by those who have gone to war, that has been paid for by those who died in war, he made it worthwhile. He went and pursued it. So in a lot of ways, Tony, what you did yesterday, you gave honor to those who paved the way, who died so that we could have a great educational system in our country. And so that's the whole point. So there's a chain of action here. Notice the word action. There's a chain of action going on here. One dies, others live, then they live their lives in a positive way. There's a chain of sacrifice. Now, to illustrate my message and to sort of really just kind of launch into this morning, I'm going to make an unfair generalization, and I admit right up front that it's a little bit unfair, although I think probably most everybody will agree it's not terribly unfair. But I want to make a comparison. I want to ask you a question. What's the difference between a politician and a soldier? What's the real difference? Now again, and this is not to be critical of politicians necessarily. They do fine on that all on their own. So you know, I don't need to help them with that. But not to be, and I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just really just kind of talking truthfully now. What is the difference between a politician and a soldier? Well, first of all, one is all talk and the other is all action. I mean, that's what you don't see soldiers having press conferences. Soldiers aren't making speeches anywhere for the most part. There's always exceptions, but they're not making speeches anywhere. They're not holding press conferences. They're not talking about things. They're men of action. They're women of action. All right. Secondly, one says they love America, and that may be true, but one proves it. Right? One says I love freedom. One proves it. Now again, that doesn't look in those of us who are not soldiers. I can say that I love America, but that's really all I can do, isn't it? But see, one says it. One proves it. What's the difference between a politician and a soldier? One says he fights for freedom, and one proves that he does it. One makes laws and orders, and one carries them out. Right? One votes to go to war, and one actually goes to war. See, there's a difference between a politician and a soldier. And again, I'm not being critical necessarily. These are facts. This is how it works. And there's a point to this, so just stay with me. One leads from a podium. The other one leads into battle. One votes his own salary and benefits. The other one gets whatever the first one decides. Right? And one needs protected, and the other one does the protecting. Now, I could kind of sum it all up this way, and simply put, one talks about how things should be, and the other one makes it happen. And that really is the difference between a politician and a soldier. Now, what does that have to do with us today? Well, now my question is simply this: which one of those two did Jesus call his followers to be? Which one? See, we could talk to the people who knew him best. How about if we can talk to the Apostle John first? The Apostle John was the man who, at the Last Supper, laid his head on Jesus' chest, the Bible says, and he could hear the heartbeat of the Savior. Let's take a look at what he had to say. In 1 John chapter number 3, he said, "Hereby we see the love of God because he talked about laying down his life for us." Talked about, no, he didn't say, "I love you." He laid down his life for us. But then notice what he said next. He said, "And we ought to lay down our lives for the others." I said, "No, wait." He's not talking about necessarily physically giving up our lives. He's not talking about being a martyr. He's saying, what he's actually saying is, Jesus died for you, so you need to live for others. Right? This was John's take on it. Verse 17. Here's what else he said. So wait. Time out. Is that a man of action, or is that a man of talk? He's saying, "Look, I don't want to hear your talk." He said, "Action. But whoever has this world's goods," here gets very specific, "whoever has this world's goods and sees someone who has a need and has no compassion for him, how can the love of God dwell in him?" See, John said, you can talk all you want to about how much you love people, but we know how much you love people by what you do. Verse 18, so then he just makes it real simple. He said, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in talk." Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't speak kindly and speak in love, but what he's saying is, don't let that be the only way you love. He said, "Love in deed and in truth." Basically, what he said was, prove it. Prove it. You don't prove anything by what you say. You can say, "I love this person, I love this community, I love Delaware." You can say, "I love this country," he said, "but if you don't do anything about it, you're not saying anything." He said, And the Savior that I knew, this is John talking, he said, "The Savior I knew," he didn't want to hear that. He said, "If you want to show the Savior that you say you follow, that you truly love this world, then do something." Now, if you don't like what John had to say, let's take a look at what Paul had to say. The Apostle Paul was called by Jesus after Jesus went back to heaven. If you know the story, he was traveling actually on his way to persecute Christians, to hurt Christians, to kill some of the Christians. And Jesus stopped him on the road to Damascus and blinded him temporarily so that he wouldn't be able to see, so that he would have no choice. The only thing he could do was listen. And Jesus spoke to him and said, "Paul, I've got a special job for you. Here's what I want you to tell my people. Therefore endure," say the next word with me, would you? "Hardness." Hardness. "As a good soldier of Jesus Christ." See, he didn't call us to talk a good game. He said, "Look, it's not going to be easy." He said, you're going to endure hardness. Being a soldier, as we talk about, he's called us to be a soldier, yes? And he said, it's going to be, a soldier's life, is not an easy life. It's not an easy life. See, too many of us, I think, want an easy Christian life. I'll go to church, I'll give a little bit, and Jesus will be fine with me. I got to tell you, I don't judge other churches. It's none of my business what they do. But I got to be honest with you, it hurts me a little bit when I drive through, I come down Henry Street every Sunday morning and I see people filing out of St. Mary's. Now, the Catholic Church does some wonderful, benevolent things. But my experience is that most of the time, they're going to church and the message that they're getting is, this is what Jesus expects of you. This is how you be a Christian, by going to church and going through and repeating these things and saying these things. And Jesus is very clear. He said, "Look, this is a hard life being a soldier for Jesus Christ. It's not supposed to be easy." Soldiers do without an awful lot of things. Howard, how was the food over in Vietnam? Not very good, huh? Yeah. See, in most of us, let's be honest, there'd already been a thought in most of our minds about what we're having for lunch today. And when I said I got a short message, like, sweet. We'll get the hothead burrito before anybody else. See, we're already planning our next meals. Soldiers are trying to stay alive if they're in war. So, the point is here, he's saying, look, he said, hardness means sacrifice. It means doing without some things. Live like a soldier lives on the battlefield. That's what he said that we're supposed to be doing as Christians. So again, you don't have to. We could just be politician Christians. We can just talk a big game. Oh, it's so hard serving Jesus. It's just so hard. What's hard about it? Well, you know, I mean, I just don't have much. It's because you're lazy. Oh, sorry. Did I say that out loud? Look, you know, we want to talk about how you know, Christians. I have had a wonderful week in ministry. I shared with some people recently what a wonderful week it's been in ministry. I am personally getting to work with some families that are putting their lives back together, putting their marriages back together. Some are getting free of the addictions that hold them. And the one thing that I have found that's the common denominator among all of them is that they look at life not in woe is me. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. No, they're saying, hey, look, I love life. I love being a Christian. And they have a positive attitude, and they're saying, I've got the right people around me. I can do this. I can do this. Yes. Families that are getting homes for the first time in a long time because they said, you know what? We're not going to complain. We're not going to whine around. We're not going to cry around. You know, look, can I just say this? And please take this the right way to everybody. Every single person in this room has pain. Yes. Please stop whining about yours all the time. I know that sounds harsh. I know. And Julie said, you just said that. I did just say that. I did just say that. I guarantee you, those guys crawling through the rice paddies in Vietnam, or people you know trying to make it across a battlefield in Korea, or in anywhere, you know, they don't have time to worry about how much they hurt. He said, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Then he went on. He said in verse 4. He said, no man who goes to war entangles himself with the things of this life. Be careful about the things that we allow to entangle us in this life. Because the more things we get, the more things we have to have, the more little niceties that we have, the more toys we have to have, all these things. I'm not saying we shouldn't have some nice things. Please don't take this the wrong way. All I'm saying is politicians live pretty well, folks. They live pretty well. They vote their own salaries. They get their own benefits. They give themselves. They live pretty decently. They have people drive them around, or they take Ubers and all that kind of stuff, you know, and all these things. He said, look, the more things you entangle yourself with in this life, the more debt you entangle yourself to, the less soldier you can be. Look, there are some people, they would like to do more for Jesus Christ, but we're so in debt to toys and things of this world that we don't have time. You have maybe having to work a second job to pay those debts off. So therefore, there's no time to come and serve Jesus Christ in the church. See, and this is what he's saying. He's saying, look, if you entangle yourself so much with this life, you're not going to be able to be a good soldier, because a soldier's life is hard and it's not easy. You know, John, we just left him, you know, it was John who said, he said, look, don't say you love in word or in deed. And by the way, that also means, I think he was probably talking to us also in prayer. He said, look, don't just pray about things. Can I just be real plain here? I guess it's a morning to just be plain. We don't need to pray for the poor. We just need to help them. Okay, well, that went over real big. We don't need to pray for the homeless. See, we don't want to be a church that prays for the homeless. We put a camper out back. That's right. We don't need to pray for those that are addicted. We need to get out and find them and encourage them and bring them in and try to help them find some freedom. That's what we need to do. If we ask Jesus, would you please do something about this poor neighbor I have, and they just don't seem to be able to take care of their grass. You know what Jesus would say to you? Mow their grass. You lazy bum. Or... don't say you're one of my followers. Don't say you're one of my followers. Don't say you're one of my followers and all you do is talk about this. So let's hear from Jesus last, and I want to be careful with my time here. So Jesus at one point said, you know, he said, the greatest among you would be your servant. He said, love one another, love the lost. He said, I came to seek and to save. None of those sound like talking things to me. Those all sound like action. He said, look, I didn't just talk to my Father and say, hey, would you cut the lost a break? He said, no, I left heaven. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. And he said, now if you're one of my followers, that's what you're supposed to do too. Say, well, I can't save them. No, but you can seek them. You can seek them. You can talk to them. This is what he's asking us to do. All right, so the last thing he said was, he said, but you know what, I'm not going to force you. See, Jesus doesn't want to force anybody. So here's what Jesus said himself in John chapter 10, that great chapter where Jesus, and I'll close with these verses. He said, there's two kinds of people who watch over sheep. There's shepherds and there's hirelings. He said, a shepherd is one who takes care of his sheep. A hireling is somebody who is paid to do so. A hireling is somebody whose heart's not really in it. He said, now, I'm a shepherd, so I lay down my life for my sheep. See, this is Memorial Day. This is what we're talking about. The ultimate in self-sacrifice was Jesus Christ. He literally laid down his physical life, but before that, he laid down his heavenly life. The Bible says he left the glory of heaven. Did you know that Jesus is kind of a big deal in heaven? I mean, he is. He's a big deal. He really is. I mean, the angels all thought he was pretty far up there because he was God. He left all that. He laid that down. He said, I'm going to set that aside. And I'm going to go down and I'm going to take on the body of a human. And I'm going to live as a submissive child and teenager. And then I'm going to become an adult and I'm going to teach them how to love. And then I'm going to let them beat me and mock me and kill me. That's a man of action. And then he said, I'm going to go back to heaven and I'm going to let them curse me and malign me and make jokes out of my name. I'm going to let them not believe in me, but I'm going to do it all anyway because I lay down my life for the sheep. There were many lives that Jesus laid down for us. And then he said this in verse number 18, in the last verse. He said, no man takes it from me. This was the point I wanted to make. He said, I'm not going to force you because no man takes my life from me. He said, when I die on the cross, it's not going to be because I was overpowered. And by the way, there wasn't anybody who could overpower Jesus. Nobody was going to overpower him. He laid down his life. He said, I have the power to do whatever I want. And he did. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Because he was God, the Son of God. He said, and I have power to take it again. And that's what he then comes to us and he simply says this. And now I'm giving you that same option. I'm giving you that option. You can be a politician or you can be a soldier. You can be all talk, you can be all action. You can live for others, you can live for yourself. And basically, I think, you know, the message was, you know, look, and there's some that might say, well, man, this is kind of a in-your-face sort of thing. You know, if one of our Marines could come back who died on Iwo Jima, you know, I don't think he really would be too concerned about our feelings. Would he? I don't think he'd really be too concerned about political correctness. I think what he'd say is, and this is the message, this is my title, and this is the message I think that all of these Bible men that we've looked at, and I think every veteran who ever died on a field of battle somewhere, I think this is the message that they would say, put up or shut up. Amen. Put up or shut up. Don't be, just like John said, he said, don't show your love in word or in talk. Show it in deed. Do something. Do something. Get involved in some way that we are helping. This is that message that they all gave. Look, if all we do is come to church and take, and please, again, I am so grateful that you all came this morning, but if all we do is come and just take, if all we do is kind of just show up last minute, get out of here quick, don't encourage anybody, don't invest in anybody, don't give, don't try to help, don't try to open a door, don't look around for who's lonely, don't walk around during the greeting time and see who's sitting by themselves and nobody ever talks. See, the people in the can I just tell you something? During that greeting time we have, the people in the aisles, they don't need you. They don't. Your friends don't need you. They have you all the time. Yeah. I'll tell you who needs you. Who needs you is that person who's come in and really hasn't felt like a part of things yet. Like Tony was a few years ago. Because people come in and they're insecure and they feel like they're on the outside and they don't feel like they're a part of things. And that's our job, is to reach out to them. But not just the ones who are in here sitting by themselves, the ones who are sitting outside by themselves, the ones who aren't in here. You know, I have thoroughly enjoyed getting to meet Joe back here in the corner.
Yes.
This is Joe back in the corner. Joe, I don't even know your last name. His last name is back in the corner. Dave, I'm so grateful that you and Kizzy brought him in to meet us. He's part of our family, and we love him, even though we don't know his name. Look, see, this is what it's all about. He's got a family now, and we've got, and our family's better because he's part of it. Right?
Right.
And this is what it's all about. Find somebody to help. You know, I'm not going to say that. That's just mean. That's mean too. Okay, the rest of everything I have was mean, so we're done. Well, look, seriously, we need to put up or shut up. We need to not be like the politicians that we see on TV, who all they talk about is, I'm fighting for this. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine what goes through some of you who actually went to war. I can't imagine what goes through your head when you hear some young pipsqueak politician, congressperson, who gets up and says, I'm fighting for this. I can't even imagine what goes through your head. I imagine you want to say, you don't even know what it means to fight. You don't know what a fight is. You think that's a fight? If you don't get bloodied, you're not in a fight. You don't have any idea what it means to fight. That's what I'm assuming that many of you think, because that's what I'm thinking. You don't have any idea what it means to sacrifice for something. You're fighting for something? You're fighting for airtime is what you're fighting for. Let's don't be that as a Christian. Let's be the kind of Christians that are actively doing something for someone. Not just here, but outside of here too. Outside of here. Making our community a better place. Making our society a better place. That's what Jesus called us to do. He says, don't be all talk. Don't concern yourself with talking about how things ought to be. Make things that way. You know, and it's my opinion that only people who are actually doing that should ever be saying anything about how things ought to be. I don't understand the whole, again, I promise you, I'm going to wrap this up. I don't understand how in our Congress we have Congress people who are sitting on committees that decide what happens to veterans when there are plenty of veterans who are Congress people who ought to be sitting there. Amen. To me, it seems like put the veterans on the committees that decide what happens to veterans. Don't put somebody who's never done anything like that on that committee. And in the same way, Christians who don't do anything ought not to be spouting off talking about how things ought to be in church or how things ought to be in Christianity. Just living for ourselves. See, it ought to be people of action that are speaking, and only people whose actions back up what they say. You know, don't talk about the poor unless you're giving to them. Don't talk about everything that's wrong unless we're a part of what's happening. So here's my point, and I'm done. Let's just all be totally honest. Let's just be totally honest with ourselves. That category, can you put that list back up for me, please? Let's put that list up. Politician versus soldier. Which one describes my life? Which one? As you look at what kind of an employee we ought to be. All talk, all action. You know, what kind of church member am I? What kind of person am I? What kind of father am I? What kind of husband am I? See, we all ought to take a look at ourselves and say, which one of these really describes me more? And then, can we translate that into then our service for the one who made the ultimate sacrifice and called us not to be politicians, called us to be soldiers? Let's pray. Our Father, we